subject tonight is the glorious church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:21 is the text. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I'm speaking on three very important things tonight concerning the glorious church of our Lord. Have you ever thought how much like bees are Baptists? And musing over the matter, I note the following points of similarity. First, each hive of bees is altogether independent of every other hive. When an old hive sends out a new swarm, the swarm becomes instantly and forever independent of the old one. Second, bees do not make laws, but they conform with rigid regularity to the laws already made for them. They have been doing as they now do ever since the first hive was created. Third, bees adjust themselves to their environment with wonderful ease, yet without changing their nature or their laws. They can work in a hollow tree or in the latest patent hive and be as well satisfied in one place as in the other. They work faithfully wherever their lot is cast. Fourth, while bees are all very much alike, yet there are several different varieties and some are more useful than others. Fifth, they're working bees and there are drone bees, just as there are working Baptists and drone Baptists, but bees have sense enough to clip the wings of the drones and drag them to the edge of the hive and pitch them out. Some Baptist churches don't have that much sense. Six, bees will fight for their rights, and anything else that's worth any account will do the same thing. A true Baptist will fight every time there's any need of it. Seventh, put a strange queen into a hive of bees, and they will instantly kill her, while at the same time they obey without hesitation their own queen. Even so, Baptists have only one master, and a stranger they will not follow. Eight, a beehive is just as much a beehive if there were not another one on earth as it is if there were a million beehives. So a Baptist church is just as much a church standing alone as it is when there are thousands of other Baptist churches. Nine, it does not take all the beehives in the world to make the beehive, and does not take all the Baptist churches to make the Baptist church. There's no such thing as the Baptist church any more than there is the beehive. Ten, there never has been a day since the first beehive was created that there have not been beehives on earth. The earth has never been without bees since the first bee was created. There never has been a day since Christ organized the first Baptist church in Jerusalem. There has been no Baptist church on earth. The earth has never been without Baptists since God created the first Baptist and sent it to prepare the material for the church. 11, since a bee that won't work is no account and is put out of the hive and killed, let Baptists learn to treat such members the same way. 12, it's the nature of bees to live together in hives. And there's something wrong with a Baptist who gets out of the hive and stays out. Just as much nonsense to talk about there having been a period in the world's history when there were bees and no hives, as talk about being a period in the world when the principles of Baptists prevailed and no churches. Isn't it glorious to be a Baptist? If a man is a Baptist, let him be a Baptist. Let's work like bees, and we shall eat the sweets of our pure religion. Just as Baptists are like bees, they're also like watches. Baptist Church is like a watch in the following particulars. Each watch is a complete organization in itself, having no connection whatever with any other watch in the world. Second, each watch does its own work independently, not controlled by any other watch or watches, and there is no general superintendent over the watches. Yet each watch works like all other watches, doing the same work in the same way, the same time as all other watches, yet not bound together by any external force. Third, some watches are larger than others, and some are better than others, and some last longer than others, and some are not constructed exactly like others, yet these minor differences are not sufficient to cause any of them to cease to be watches. Fourth, if a watch gets out of fix, the way to repair it is not to call a convention of watches or a board or a committee, take the watch and have it repaired, but should be taken to the watch fixer. And with Baptists, Jesus Christ is the fixer. And each individual watch must be dealt with as an individual. And each correction must be made as an individual correction. Fifth, sometimes the pieces of one watch is worked into another watch, and thus members from one church are sometimes taken into other churches of similar sort. Six, a watch will do its work just as well if there is not another watch on earth, and will do its work no better if there are a million other watches. Absolute independence constantly is maintained. Seven, all the watches put together do not make one big watch. Neither can we speak of the one big church any more than we can speak of the watch. Eight, there are thousands of watches, but no such thing as the watch. And there are thousands of independent Baptist churches, but no such thing as the Baptist church. Some people talk about the Baptist church as well as talk about the watch, meaning all the watches combined into one big watch. Nine, old watches wear out and new watches are made, but there's never been a time since the first watch was made that there's not any watch in existence. Even so, there's never been a time since Christ established the first Baptist church in Jerusalem that no Baptist church has existed. Tenth, each watch attends to its own business. A watch does not try to plow corn or saw logs or chop timber a whole cotton, into its own business. Herein, watches differ some from some Baptist churches who go into politics and try to learn to run the world and run the business of the world. That's not what they were intended for. 11, watches are generally hid from public view, and those who do the best service are devoted strictly to their master's use, their own master. And churches that sometimes make the least noise and the least appearance and are least noticed are churches that do the greatest service for their master. 12, in watches, those parts that are hidden from public view and do that part out of sight are most important. So the church member who works faithfully out of sight is of most importance. 13th, an iron case is just as good as any for practical purposes. So the house the house a church meets in affects very little the work of the church. The right sort of a church is right on the inside. And a gold case will not make the work any better on the inside. 14. The material of which a watch is made ready before it goes into the watch. So each church member is first prepared for church membership before he's put into the watch, into the organization. It'd be foolish to try to prepare the material in the watch by putting the material in the watch. And so it's foolish to try to get a man ready for service by putting him in the church. And 15, one spring or wheel out of fix will stop the watch from work, and such disabled members must be repaired or put out. So disorderly church members must be made right by the proper discipline or put out of the organization. Now, remember that when you see the hands are not running right, not keeping correct time, the proper thing is not to work on the hands, but to work on the inside of the watch. And so to try to get people to quit dancing, quit lying, quit stealing, quit drinking, and cut out their meanness is like fixing the hands of a watch. A good jeweler will fix the inside of the watch, then the hands will run right. And a good church will get right on the inside, and a good church member will get right on the inside. Therefore, like bees and watches, for not doing what they ought to do. Many excuses made by people for not becoming church members. I want to call your attention to some of those excuses. Why don't you join the church and be baptized? Oh, you say there are so many in the church that are hypocrites, and I can do just as well as they. But does that excuse you? The Lord commands us to join his church and be baptized. Why did he organize the church into one body? After he set up the church on earth and sent it to heaven, can you find where anybody ever professed to be a Christian in the Bible and roamed around without church membership or without baptism? That's a modern invention, nothing in the scripture on that subject. When you stand face to face with God in the judgment, you can't say that you thought you could do just as well out of the church as you could in it, and therefore you had more intelligence than the Lord, and the Lord didn't know what he was about when he organized his church. It certainly makes me sad to hear God's children make so many excuses for not attending service, for not giving of their money to the cause, for not engaging in personal soul winning. And when the judgment day comes, they'll find where they've made their mistake. They'll not be lost for that, but they'll lose their reward. Just think about the life Christ lived. He had no pleasure except pleasure in doing his Father's will. We follow his example. We should have no pleasure except to do the will of our Master. Following in his steps, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they're already white under the harvest, as we find in John 4, 34 and 35. Do not put your work off, for now is the time. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Do not put your work off. Don't be idle. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. You may not see any effects of your work, but if you're faithful in the sowing, there'll be a glorious reaping, and you'll reap what you sow. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into his life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So seeing no good effects from your work ought not to cause you to become discouraged or to quit. When you work, and whatever you do as a Christian, play safe. Be on the safe side. Men are frequently mistaken, but if they must err, it's best to err on the safe side. Between two possible errors, a man is wise if he chooses a position of least danger. It were well if men would take a position on the safe side on some propositions I'm going to mention. Is there a God? If there is a God, the supreme ruler, to whom we must give an account, all will agree that it's best to believe in his existence and govern ourselves accordingly. But suppose there is no God. The man's none the worse off for believing in a God. The man who believes in God is as well off as the atheist, even if the atheist is right. If err I must, let me err on the safe side. Is there a hell? If there is no hell, it's best for me to believe in the awful existence of hell anyway. But what good will it do me not to believe in it? If there is no hell, then my belief in its existence won't hurt me. And I'll fare quite as well believing in it as I would if it didn't. If there is a hell, however, it pays me to act accordingly and to steer my life with reference to it. If I err, let me err on the safe side. What is baptism? One says sprinkling is baptism. Another says pouring is baptism. Another says makes no difference. If there is either one or the other, but listen, there are three forms. Yes, what are they? Will all churches take sprinkling? No, they won't. Will all churches accept pouring? No. Will all churches accept immersion? Yes. Well, if you want to play safe, take a baptism that all will accept, then you'll have to take immersion. There are three pieces of money. One piece is thought to be counterfeited by a great many people. Another piece is thought to be counterfeit by a great many people. There's a third piece that everybody believes in and everybody will take. Which piece of money had you rather have? Why, of course, you said, I'd rather have the one that everybody will accept. Very well, then. They won't all accept sprinkling. They won't all accept pouring. But all churches will take immersion. And therefore, it's a safe thing for you to be on the safe side and get the baptism that everybody will take. If I must err, let me err on the safe side. Are mission boards and conventions scriptural? Some say yes, some say no. There is serious doubt about it. It is scriptural for churches to engage directly and associate together directly in mission work. Everybody says yes, that's scriptural. But since all acknowledge that it's all right for a church to send out a missionary and for the churches to associate together in the support of the missionary, and a great many do not believe it's scriptural to have boards and conventions, then what's the safe side? If you're going to err on the side of safety, if I must err, let me err on the safe side and stay with the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what our Missionary Baptist Institute teaches and what it stands for. It's absolute, unconditional election, a scriptural doctrine. Is my destiny fixed? Was it foreordained before I was born that I should be go to heaven or to hell? Whatever it may be, then nothing I can do will change that. Nothing will change that eternal decree. Then what will it hurt if I try to repent and believe? If it is foreordained that I couldn't do it, I won't make it successfully. It won't hurt me to try. But if unconditional election is not true, then it's dangerous not to do what the Bible says, repent towards God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unconditional election idea is correct, and I can not have a thing to do with it. Why, it hits me all right anyhow. I'll go where I was destined to go, and I can't help myself. But if it's not true, then I can help myself. And if I must err, let me err on the side of safety. Why will men pin their faith to a theory and forget their own personal interest and safety? If there is a doubt on any question, plant yourself down on the side where there is no doubt, and then you'll be saved.